Welcome everyone to the MMQB Gambling Podcast. Last edition for a little while here as we put a bow on the NFL season. Joining me as always, well, I should say first, I am Jimmy Trainor, in case you didn't know. Joining me as always, my co-host, senior editor of the MMQB, Gary Gramling, his brother Scott Gramling, the managing editor of DRF Sports Forum. I know Scott was in Atlanta at the game. Gary, did you leave Atlanta?
I left Sunday morning. Yeah.
You left Sunday morning. You didn't even want to stay with your brother at the game. It's kind of
No, it was actually a bummer. We didn't meet downtown. This is as I said last time, I hate media gripes about right. The city. I will say though, and I had no idea Atlanta had a reputation as a bad traffic city, but it was tough getting in and out of downtown. So we both were downtown at some point on Saturday, but it was tough to get around. Other than that lovely city, I was honored to be there.
Now Scott will probably praise the city because the Patriots won the Super Bowl.
From what I remember of my time down there, it was perfectly fine. Yeah. There were too many streets closed and all that, but it was okay. I didn't have to worry too much about. I wasn't driving. I had people driving me around.
So. I'm sure every single gambling podcast and television show out there expected 16 points to be scored in the Super Bowl. We all probably analyzed
quarter.
It perfectly. I don't know what to say about the game. I don't think we really even need to get into it. Let's do this. Give me one thought on the game that you have coming out of it. If I said, give me your number one takeaway from the Super Bowl.
I'll give you my number two takeaway because I think everyone's number one takeaway will be what Belichick and Flores did defensively.
But, right.
Poor Wade Phillips. Wade Phillips will never be remembered for the time that he held Tom Brady to 13 points in the Super
That's
Bowl.
An excellent point. Yeah.
And he had a brilliant game plan himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just how the Rams just never adjusted, never seemed to do anything differently, and. In watching the game since I've gotten back and watching the mic'd up stuff that was on NFL Network earlier this week, it seemed like with McVay, he just kept willing them to, okay, guys, deep breath, let's go. There was no real adjustments there. And it got to the point, and I feel like it was early in the fourth quarter in the mic'd up thing, where Belichick just flat out said, there's nothing they can do to us. There's nothing they're going to do. Just – don't screw it up from this point. And it was still a close game at that point, right? I mean, it's the kind of thing you usually hear if a team's up 31-10, not up by one score.
Yeah.
So it was the fact, and I said at halftime that when it was 3-0, I thought you still needed 20 points to win the game. I felt like the Rams were going to get to 17 because I just felt like having the longer halftime, they would make certain adjustments and come out in the second half and not set the world on fire, but certainly move the football and put some points on the board, and it just never happened.
Yeah.
The two adjustments they did make, we talked a little bit on the Deep Dive show, and one I noticed rewatching the other day, they went to two tight ends in the second half, which seemed to sort of play into the Patriots' hands after Patrick Chung went down. But they also, you know, all that talk about, and it is overrated, all the talk about how Goff has McVay in his headset until the 15-second mark of the play clock, and McVay's telling them, every team does that. Every quarterback and coach does that. But the Rams were so paranoid about the adjustments Belichick was making that they started waiting until the 15-second mark to break their huddle so that Belichick wouldn't be able to make calls. So you could actually see a couple times the camera caught Goff. He had made the play call. They're in the huddle, and he's sort of peeking out to see where the play call is at. And that, I think, I mean, you talk about taking a team out of what they do best and making them do something else, and the something else did not work.
Yeah, for me, and you guys just sat here and, you know, did the whole Belichick spiel. If I'm a Rams fan, I'm a little worried about Jared Goff. Jared Goff, he didn't play badly. I mean, he basically soiled himself on national TV for 4 straight hours. He was petrified to be in that game. Petrified. Brandon Cooks wide open in the end zone. That's not Bill Belichick doing any scheming. On the pick, there's a guy wide open on a crossing route. And then combine that with how he played against Atlanta in the playoffs the year before. I'd be a little nervous right now. He does not seem like the big stage is his place.
That was a shell-shocked quarterback. That is a quarterback who has not played in many games where there were no open receivers. And you can see it on the Cooks play. I mean, he's probably double and triple verifying that because he's like, oh, my goodness, how is a guy open after the first 40 seconds?
And floater. I mean, Bill Belichick, I'm not taking anything away from Belichick. He's the greatest coach of all time, and nothing needs to be said about that. Bill Belichick has nothing to do with Jared Goff throwing floaters all over the place. I mean, floaters.
The only thing I'll say is when a quarterback is that uncomfortable, it's hard to just let it rip and do it that way.
Right.
And you know, I'm sure we'll talk about this plenty in the preseason. A guy like Patrick Mahomes can still beat you when you've out-schemed him. Jared Goff cannot.
But he looked scared to be in that game.
He didn't look scared until the flyover prior to the game.
If you watch the
and I like Goff, I do, but man, I tell you, I know everyone's going crazy about Belichick. I was like, wow, this guy is petrified to be in the spotlight. That was my takeaway from it. But we're not here for that. We're here for the gambling. We're here for the degeneration. So let's start with this. How many bets did you make on Super Bowl Sunday? We'll start with Gary.
I just made 4 prop bets. I did not bet side or
and what were they?
I had that alternate under at 51.5.
So I was a winner.
Which I guess I wish I could have gone lower.
All right.
I wonder what you could have gotten. What kind of odds at over under 17?
16.5.
I'll take under
plus
16.
8 million?
Seriously.
Exactly. Yeah.
The other one I won on was a first score of the game is a non-touchdown. It was the Gostkowski field goal in
Very
the first
nice.
Half. I missed we talked about this one last week, the sacks. I had under 3.5. That did not come through.
So over.
That went over, yeah. Goff, what did Goff end up taking? 4?
4.
And then Brady took 1.
On the sack fumble.
Yep. And then the other one was, oh, Jason McCourty taking money out of my pocket, breaking up that play. I had Goff throws a touchdown in the third quarter at plus 140.
That's not Jason McCourty. That's Goff to blame on that. Wow. All right. So, Scott, what were your wagers on Sunday?
I took the Patriots laying 2.5. I took the under 56.
Back-to-back one over there.
Yeah. I had Rob Gronkowski minus 25.5 receiving yards over Gerald Everett.
Yeah.
Did Everett even have a catch in that game?
Catch,
yeah, I was going to say. I don't think he even had a catch.
I had total yardage of all field goals made under 122.5. I did not win that one. I had jersey.
That's a wild one to bet, I must say.
I just.
That's not a knock. I'm just saying.
You know what? It was. We were talking last week about how we felt like in these situations that, you know, you have the ball at the other team's 40-yard line that they were going to be going for it a lot, you know, 35, 40. Didn't turn out that way. I didn't think there were going to be a lot of field goals in the game either, and there really weren't, but they ended up all being 40-plus.
Mm-hmm.
I lost on over 26.5 jersey number of first player to score a touchdown.
That was Michelle.
The biggest bet I made was neither team to score in the first 6.5 minutes of the game. I got plus 130 on that.
Easy winner.
Great call, yeah.
And I took over 1.5 total number of interceptions in the game. I had to sweat that out until Goff's floater that was caught. I actually got plus 110 on that one. I do have to mention I went down with 3 college buddies of mine, all big Pats fans, and 2 of them were in a $1,000 box together, and they had the 3 and the 3. And it was one of these boxes that plays like this. You get paid out every time there's a score change, and you get 500 for an extra point, 1,500 for a field goal, 3,000 for a touchdown. All right, so at 3-0, and it's also the reverse as well. So at 3-0, the 3 and the 0 win and the 0 and the 3 win. So that pays out 1,500 to 2 different people. At 3-3, because they have the 3-3 and they have the reverse, they get the 15 and the 15. Okay. At the end of the quarters, it pays out 10,000. So the 0-0 got the 10,000 at the end of the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
At the Sony Michel touchdown. All right. So halftime, the 3-0 paid out.
Right.
And third quarter, my buddies got paid out on the 3-3. The Michelle touchdown, the 9-3 and the 3-9 get paid out $3,000 each. The 10-3 gets paid out $500. The 3-10 gets paid out $500 on that extra point. My buddies get another $1,500, $1,500, $3,000 when it goes to 13-3 on that field goal. All the rest of the money left in the pot goes to, well, splits between the 3-3 and the 3-3. So they ended up with $70,000.
Don't tell the government.
It's karma, okay, because one of the guys is our biggest fan, the biggest fan of this podcast.
Well, that's good then.
Tells everybody about it.
Good.
Listens religiously.
Well, that's what we want to hear.
Give a shout out to
T.I. I won't give any more.
Don't give any
identity.
More information, please. It's tax season, for Christ's sake.
We said get your $1,000 boxes last week. Yeah.
Oh, there's a Chinese restaurant that I go to that does $500 boxes, and I thought that was outrageous. $1,000 boxes, I can't even imagine.
Well, the two of them split it, so they were only in for both $500, but they each came out with 35,000 clams. When the Rams are driving at the end there, down 13-3, it kind of didn't occur to us as you're watching the game that they're going to send the field goal unit on. So they send the field goal unit on, and that's a very makeable field goal for Greg Zuerlein.
That would have been brutal.
Your buddies who won the money should thank Tom Brady. He convinced Belichick to kick the field goal, which you saw in the NFL Films mic'd up show.
To me, that was the most riveting moment of that. I couldn't believe it, right? Why don't we just kick the field goal?
I'll give you... it was fascinating to see Brady talk Belichick into kicking the field goal, but I'll give you what I thought was the most fascinating moment from the mic'd up show was Belichick discussing for 5 minutes with the ref before the game whether the roof was going to be open. Yeah. He's worried about the wind on the kickoff. They said the ref told Belichick they're going to close the roof when the game starts, and Belichick got mad. He wanted it closed beforehand because the wind is going to affect it. I mean, he's playing chess and everyone else is playing checkers.
That was fascinating. Yeah. I did rewind that a couple of times, too.
The prop bets I had these are wild. These are all from Five Dimes. Nate Burleson picks the Rams to win on the CBS pregame show -380. Let's just say it's good to have friends who work on Good Morning Football. That was a winner. 2-point conversion made +190. It was a loser. Over 4 catches for Gronk -135, a winner. Giselle showed on TV over 1.5 times, -160, a winner. Flea Flicker attempted +210, loser. Over 3.5 yards, Todd Gurley, first rush of the game, loser. And then over 2.5 times, Nance and Romo say Gronk -400, a winner. So
how many times did they say it?
Oh, here's what Romo said it in back. He said Gronk twice within a 4-second span and then said it about 10 seconds later, so it worked out well. I don't think Romo has ever said Gronkowski in his life, so that made it easy. Nance will give you a Gronkowski.
Yes.
Romo's going Gronk every time. So it was -400. You had to lay a little juice there, but it was a nice winner.
Very good.
So that was my Super Bowl Sunday. Let's talk for a second, especially, I know, Scott, you probably, I feel like this is your territory here, the Gladys Knight debacle. So everyone loves to bet the anthem. I shouldn't say everyone, but the degenerates out there love to bet the anthem. And on every website, they do say, you know, over under length of anthem, on last note or has to be after Brave or whatever. But Gladys gave 2 Braves. Anarchy ensued. Some sports books paid out over and unders. I feel like we need to tighten the belt here on this. We can't have this confusion over something so ridiculous.
I just hate this stuff. I hate it so much. Like, there shouldn't be wagering on that. Everybody should lose. You should lose just by wagering on that.
I have what site is this? I want to give them the proper credit here. It's betonline.ag sent me every prop bet result. And here's what they say on their sheets here. How long will it take for Gladys Knight to sing the national anthem? The over-under was 1:50. The under came in, and then they have in italics. The under was graded, the winner, at 1:49, as she said, 2 Braves. However, BetOnline decided to pay out both sides. This is the problem. If gambling is going to be legal now, someone from the NFL needs to say to Gladys, you got 1 Brave only. We can't have 2 Braves and have this going on.
Maybe. I mean, these are the things that should not be offered. I'm just telling you. Anything that somebody can control in its entirety. It shouldn't be wagered on.
Now, this has to be a mistake. I'm seeing here, will any player kneel during the anthem? Yes, plus 500. I don't remember anyone kneeling.
I didn't see or hear it.
That has to be a mistake, I think. Who will be shown first on TV during the anthem? Goff plus 140 paid out if you got some underdog. I'm trying to see if there was any good underdog action.
Sorry, I'm just going to, as you're saying
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
New York Times headline, no kneeling during Super Bowl 53
they may
national anthem,
yeah,
but still plenty of talk.
Now, here's one I'll give you. Now, you want to talk about ridiculous controversy. They have here, will Jon Bon Jovi be shown during the live broadcast? Now, they have the winner here is no, minus 170. They showed Kraft in the booth, and Bon Jovi was behind them, and you saw about half his face from about top of the nose down. I guess they didn't pay that out. Something else we need to clean up in the future.
Yeah.
That should be a payout, if you ask me.
That should be a payout.
Yeah. I didn't bet that, so I don't care.
That's how it's going to be worded next. It's going to be, it's like in a college football game, at least 55 minutes have to be played for the game to have action.
Mm.
It needs to be like at least 60% of his face needs to be shown.
Now,
to have action.
Edelman here, they have the Edelman at 25-1, a winner on MVP. You said Edelman MVP on the podcast last week, didn't you? Isn't that one you gave out? You didn't bet it,
no,
though?
No. I think we explicitly said it would be very difficult for a wide receiver to win MVP.
Oh, I thought you had said Edelman. I could be wrong. I know I said Gronk at 40-1.
Yeah.
Maybe it was someone on the line, the video show we do. Maybe it was Ben Teitelbaum who had said Edelman at 25-1 for Edelman MVP. It's a nice win there.
Absolutely.
And first touchdown, Sony Michel was 11-2 on that payout. And that was it. I mean, not really anything. A lot of sites offered, you know, Trump tweeting congratulations. I don't think he's done that yet. Maybe he's on the outs with Bill and Tom. And
was there a time frame on that?
I think it had to be on Monday or something like that. So,
yeah.
And now the betting dry season is upon us.
Yes. I'm actually going to want to throw a few things out at you guys just before. And later we'll kind of close the show with looking ahead to 2019. But sort of one last look back at the 2018/19 season. And put a few things out here. Talk about over-unders. And of the 267 games that were played, three of them ended in a push. So there's 264 games, including the postseason, that did not end in a push. How many of those games?
Wait, you're telling me that the entire NFL season there were only three pushes?
Over-unders.
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 Okay.
Yeah.
Even that's surprising. Okay.
Right. It is a bit surprising.
Yeah,
I mean, usually
three.
You get six or seven.
Like three out of 267.
Yeah. Wow. And there was, I think there was only 11. Maybe there was 11 pushes, I think, this year against the spread, which is a little lower than usual as well. But so over-unders, if it was 50-50, it would have been 132 and 132. How many overs do you think there were, Gary?
I'll go 121.
144.
124.
Wow.
124
That's...
over. And 140 under.
So wow.
That's a hair under 47%.
Yep.
And it just, you know, a lot of people talking about a lot of scoring. But
absolutely.
The lines have gone up and the lines have caught up, and you can even argue, you know, surpassing it a bit. So straight up during the regular season, home teams a little under 60%, just a tad under 60%. Therefore, away teams, obviously, a tad over 40%. That's straight up. Against the spread, what do you think home teams were?
Let's go a little over on that. We'll go 138.
139.
122
home teams against the spread. We both went over.
I tried to price this right.
Away, exactly.
Away was the way to go.
Harry had a dollar.
I'm a believer that home field is very overrated in all sports at this point.
I agree with you.
I think there are a couple of places here and there, maybe. But, I mean, you take teams, the Texans, the Dolphins, the Arizona Cardinals, Detroit. Like, home field doesn't matter with those teams.
And also, look, you know, it used to be the fact, right, where you would get some home field shenanigans. I mean, when the Patriots, going back nearly 20 years, would have, you know, a fleet-footed team coming in, you know, they would water down the field, they right. would ice it, you know, you would do things to it. Those kind of things just don't seem to go on nearly as much as they used to once upon a time.
Right.
How about favorites against the spread out of 259?
I'll go 236.
No, no, no. Out of 136, you mean?
136.
Yeah, yeah.
153.
Favorites against the spread were 119, under 46% this year. Underdogs over 54%.
Wow.
So if you sat there and you just bet away dogs all season, 55.2%.
So yeah.
There's some trends.
It's the bottom line is nobody knows anything.
Exactly. So team by team here.
Yeah.
There was one team and one team only with more than 10 against the spread wins.
Was it the Chiefs?
No.
No. One team with more than 10 wins against the spread.
This team went 12-4 against the spread. No. Jimmy, I think you should get this. I think...
Bears.
Yes.
Yeah. I should have known that. I should have known that. I should have known that.
Bears were 12-4 against the spread.
Yep. Yep.
Anybody want to give a guess of the other two? There were two teams that were 10-6. Nobody else was that good.
Colts.
No.
Chiefs.
No. Colts were 8-7-1.
Chiefs didn't cover a lot of those
Chiefs
games.
Were 9-6-1.
They were way up there early on, though.
They were. Saints and the Browns, each 10-6.
The Browns.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
The ATS losers, there were only two teams that lost 11 games against the spread. I will give you a hint that they were both NFC teams.
Giants?
No.
Packers?
No.
Hmm.
Packers 6-9-1, Giants 8-7-1.
Knocking on the door. Falcons.
Falcons are one of the two teams that finished 5-11 against the spread. The other one is the 49ers.
I was going to say Niners. I figured during the Mullins,
there were two AFC teams that had only 5 wins against the spread. The Jets went 5-10-1. The Jaguars went 5-9-2. The Bears had the best record against the spread in home games at 7-1. There were two teams that were 6-2 against the spread at home. Any guesses?
Two teams 6-2 at home.
Patriots.
Yes.
Lions.
No. Lions were 3-5 at home.
Really? I'll say Chiefs again.
No. Harry, do you have a guess?
Miami.
Miami Dolphins. Harry gets it right.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Wow. Oh, man. I played up their home trend so much this year.
6-2. So there were only two teams that had 6 against the spread losses at home.
I'm going to go with the Steelers.
No. It was an AFC playoff team.
The Texans.
Chargers.
Chargers were 2-6 against the spread at home.
I forgot that the Chargers were even in the playoffs.
And I forgot they had a home
stadium. The only team with only one win against the spread at home was your New York football Giants at 1-6-1.
That's unbelievable.
The two best road teams against the spread were the Chargers and the Giants. They were both 7-1 against the spread on the road. And then you had 5 teams went 2-6 against the spread away. That was Dolphins, Panthers, Raiders, Niners, and Falcons. So that's about it. I'll give you a couple of over-unders. Do you want to guess? There were only two teams that had at least 10 overs during the regular season?
Chiefs.
Yes.
Oh, I wanted to say Chiefs.
I got you on that one. Chiefs.
I'll be impressed if you get this one. It's another AFC team.
Broncos.
No. Browns.
No.
Bengals.
No.
J-E-T-S. Jets.
Wow.
Jets.
They scored a lot of points.
10-6. They gave up a lot of points.
Right.
More than anything.
They had a lot of long games, yeah.
And then there were only two teams that had more than 10 unders during the regular season. One of them was the
Jaguars.
Broncos were 13-3 under. Jaguars is a good guess. They were 10-6 under, but there was one team that was 11-5 under during the regular season.
Arizona.
Arizona was 7-9 under.
I'm done guessing.
Giants.
The Super Bowl champion Patriots were 5-11 under.
Oh my God. Interesting.
I'm pretty sure all five of those road games they lost went under the total. They just weren't even scoring in those games.
Wow.
So that's it. There's a little bit of a recap on the 2018-19 season in terms of where the teams landed. And I guess it's time to talk about 2019.
Well, yeah, before we wrap up, we'll look ahead real quick on two interesting ones. The Super Bowl 54 prop bets are out. LIV, live. It'll be very easy to remember the Roman numerals next year when you have to do all your content, Gary, on the MMQB. It's just
there
live.
There you go. That's I will say Andy Benoit has gotten it wrong every tweet he sent out on the Super Bowl. He puts XLII.
Oh, no. Next year is Super Bowl live. Here are your odds. Patriots 6-1, Chiefs 7-1, Rams 8-1, Saints 9-1, Bears Colts 14-1, Packers Vikings 18-1, Chargers Eagles 20-1, Steelers 22-1. How about this? The Browns and Cowboys 25-1. And I'm not going to read the rest, but at the bottom are the Cardinals.
I saw the Dolphins at the bottom.
Cardinals, Dolphins, Jets, Raiders, 100-1. Sorry, Harry. I'll just start off with I will take the Patriots.
Interesting.
I'm done going against them.
You know, I don't have much to back this up. I got a little bit of a sense of finality with this year's Patriots Super Bowl. I feel like if Gronk is gone, it's going to change things.
Absolutely.
Enough. But it is certainly hard to go.
I think you're going to see a lot of people on the Bears at 14-1. I don't like the value there.
No.
I think maybe Saints at 9-1 to get back there after what happened this year.
Kind of like that. Eagles and Chargers are interesting.
Yeah. Right, Gary? There.
Where's Atlanta sitting?
They missed that cut there. They were 28-1. They were the first team I didn't mention. 28-1.
Still not great.
Yeah.
How about Minnesota? Was Minnesota in there?
Minnesota's in here at 18-1 with the Packers. Somehow the Packers are 18-1. I guess people think
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
That's a ridiculous. You know, that's the kind of one you want to short, right?
I mean, I don't get that one at all.
It's the Saints kind of does stick out at me.
Yeah.
I mean, say that
Eagles 20-1. I mean, now they're going with Wentz.
Who's Foles going to sign with? Pick them to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
Say, if what would you guys think of Denver Jacksonville with Foles? What are their odds right now?
Well, Jacksonville is, I just saw them, 40-1, 40. And Denver is 80-1. Denver, I mean, Foles 80-1. Denver.
At the moment, Fangio taking over that defense, and you get to kind of said the same thing about Case Keenum last year. But
the Chiefs at 7-1, you'd have to think they're going to elevate to the next level. But
got to do something. They got that defense.
Yeah. Well, they fired their defensive coordinator already. Bob,
that's saying it's hard to see the defense getting worse.
Right.
And certainly, I don't know if Mahomes can exactly replicate what he did, but if anything, he. Should get better.
I always think it's insane that someone would bet this now because, like you said, Foles is out there. Antonio Brown's going to be traded. You got to be nuts to put your money on this now, I think. You mentioned Gronk if he retires, obviously.
Yeah. It would be interesting if you want to speculate. Like, if you think that with 70% certainty you can narrow down Foles' landing spot to three teams, and the three teams are offering such long odds,
right?
You
can
make
a case
with the Broncos, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that you play a 40-1, a 60-1, and an 80-1 if you think there's, again, a two-thirds chance that Foles ends. I can't believe we're actually talking. Would you believe a year and a half ago, and it's like, I'm going to bet on whatever team Nick Foles ends up on.
One of two Super Bowl MVPs on the market, along with Joe Flacco.
I'm going to take a hard left here and change the lanes completely. Will either of you bet any of the AAF games, which start this Sunday on CBS sports network. Because I have odds here. The Arizona Hotshots are 11-4 to win it all.
Yeah.
Salt Lake Stallions 7-2. Atlanta Legends 11-2. Orlando Apollos 11-2.
Yeah, I like the Iron at 10-1. Is really the way I would go. Do you have them at
Birmingham
10-1
Iron at 10-1? Yeah. Right. The San Diego Fleet bring up the rear at 12-1. Yeah. No interest in the AF.
No, I'll watch it and I'll consider betting it once I have a.
That
it's too much to build a football team from scratch and then say, put any sort of expectations, positive or negative, on it.
I just wanted to look at the coaches. That's
I just wanted on the record that Gary said he will watch and bet the AAF. So
no, I'll bet some AAF games this year.
There
sure.
you go. That's a degenerate right there, ladies.
You got to do something to kill the time before you start betting on CFL games.
yeah, for sure. I'll be happy to take a break. Here's the last one. March Madness. You guys bet that a lot, or
yeah. You?
No. I've done with that. I think the quality of play in college basketball is completely unwatchable. Missed threes, missed layups, 24/7.
I'm 100% with you, Jimmy. And I was a huge college basketball fan.
Me too. I used to go to Vegas every year for the tournament. I can't watch the games anymore. The amount of missed layups and free throws is astonishing in college basketball.
My problem is that every offense consists of someone dribbling for. Right. 24 seconds and going like that. And now we just sound like grumpy old men, but it is a bad product that I loved. I mean, loved. It was my favorite sport for a very long time, and now it's just it's unwatchable. It doesn't help that my teams are UConn, Syracuse, and Maryland, who all were realigned, and now
can you pick one team? I mean, that's three. You have well, three.
We
there's 300 and something teams on college.
Yes. I went to Syracuse. I grew up right near UConn, and our father used to teach in Maryland. I was born down there.
All right. I saved the best future prop bet for last. This is the one we really got to dig deep into. You can bet on who will be the halftime performer at next year's Super Bowl. Pitbull, 5-1. Drake, 6-1.
Hold on. Before you read any more, and I haven't seen these.
Yeah.
If Bad Bunny is on there,
it's
betting.
Not on there. Flo Rida 6-1, Ariana Grande 7-1, Florida Georgia Line 7-1, Bieber 8-1, Jason Derulo 10-1, Metallica 10-1, Luke Bryan 12-1, Ed Sheeran 12-1, Taylor Swift 12-1, Snoop Dogg 21, Backstreet Boys 33-1. Who are you taking a flyer on for Super Bowl halftime show next season?
It's easy for me.
Yeah,
Flo Rida.
Flo Rida at 6-1.
Yes,
I will say this: the NFL, though, they do not go by. They don't put the act in by region. Like when they had the Super Bowl here in Jersey, it was not Springsteen. It was not John Bon Jovi in Atlanta. They got Maroon 5. I think you're going to lose your Flo Rida, Gary.
The Atlanta hip hop scene, where all they're all clamoring for Maroon 5. I don't like anyone on that list. I honestly think. It has had, Foo Fighters is going to happen at some point. They have been trending toward that direction in a while. They've become more and more mainstream. They played a Saturday night concert that everyone was going nuts about, and they had Zac Brown Band come out and stuff like that. So I think Foo Fighters is going to play it very, very soon.
I'm interested in the Taylor Swift at 12-1 because the reason she hasn't done it yet is because she has some deal with Coke. And the halftime show is always sponsored by Pepsi, so she can't do it. So I don't know what. Maybe her contract's running out with Coke, and now they have her here at 12-1. If the contract with Coke is expired, I like Taylor Swift at 12-1 with big money right there.
Is there? Can you play the field?
There's no field on this.
No. Once Bad Bunny hits the board, I'm going all in on that.
Somehow I don't see Roger Goodell approving Bad Bunny, but that's just me. All right. Well, that wraps up this edition and season of the MMQB Gambling Podcast. We've had a lot of fun. Hopefully you've had a lot of fun and, more importantly, won some money. Any last words before we wrap it up?
No, I had a blast this year.
Yeah, this was fun. This was fun.
I really did as well. I think, it was a good season. I think we started on just such a high note. We hit a little bit of a lull, but we really ended on a very, very high note in terms of. We were winning a lot of games.
That cold November rain.
Yeah, it was a cold November rain. And, but, there's a lot of people to thank as well, and I always hate doing this because you end up forgetting people. Obviously, Harry here.
Harry's really the only person to thank.
First and foremost.
Absolutely.
Ben Eagle for the work he's done. New Scott Czar of the podcast.
Scott Brody. Yep,
Scott Brody.
It's still all about Harry.
It is all
Harry
about,
deserves
it is about
the props.
Harry.
It is Harry deserves the props. And I'll say one last thing. This will be my last word on the MMQB Gambling Podcast for the season. I'm still bitter about Steelers Chargers.
Have a profitable offseason, everybody. All right, before we do roll completely, let me just tell you that the 2019 Gary Bowl will be taking place in Arizona.
Oh, they do play next year? Jeez.
Yep.
We don't know what day yet, so I can't book my flight.
All right, now we're ready to go.
I recorded that, and that'll be a special sneak.